Yeah, I'd like to call the special joint meeting with the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, and Board of Apportionment and Taxation on Tuesday, June 25th, 2024 at 6:13. Can we please stand for the pledge? Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call, please.
Sure, I'll take the for the Board of Aldermen, Sarah Vadomsky, Arthur Newberg, Amy Petanici.
Here.
Ron Sell. George Kurtica. Jessica Berrios Perez. Robert Heider. Robin Falcioni Smith. David Chevarella. Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Pitney will call the roll for the tax board.
Mr. Roche?
Present.
Ms. Jermaine Izzo?
Here.
Mr. Gray? Ms. Mancini Wright? Ms. Pirelli Silkoff? Ms. Patel? Mr. Rivera? Ms. Simmons Derby?
Present.
Ms. Simon? And Ms. Wobno?
Okay, roll call's done. We're a public portion. Anybody from the public like to speak? Anyone from the public like to speak? Third and final time, anybody from the public like to speak? Hearing none, public portion is closed. Number five, presentation and explanation of the 2022-23 municipal audit. Finance Director Brian Hall.
Thank you, Mayor. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining me this evening to review our 22-23 fiscal year audit. So just a reminder, the 22-23 fiscal year audit ended in June of 2023. So I know this is quite a bit past that, a little bit better than the year before audit, but obviously we'd like to continue to improve and get this done much sooner. Coming in December, I did the best I could, but at that point you're 6 months behind the game. And with the systems changing that we did, it was a very tough audit. You know, a lot of work went into it. It got done. I think the results is what we'll go through are not what we want, not what we're hoping for. And we know we've got to do better, and we've set ourselves up to do a lot better in the future. You know, poor budgeting decisions for 22-23 fiscal year continue to create fund balance deficits. You know, the fund balance decreased from $4.474 million down to $2.582 million, a reduction of almost $1.9 million. I think the prior year was similar. It was almost, you know, a little under $2 million again. That is unsustainable, you know, and unfortunately, we were on the same path in 23-24 until the new administration came in, and we made a lot of really tough decisions with all of your help to help turn things around so that we're not here, you know, potentially, hopefully, you know, I don't know, 6 months from now, and having the conversation and looking at similar numbers with another $2 million deficit. It's why we're tier one. It's a lot of our problems are just bad budgeting, poor decision-making. You're going to see it through here. We're going to talk about a lot of the details and what happened. We saw it this year. We've been talking about it this year as much. You know, thankfully we took some actions with our ARPA funds, and unfortunately had to use those to pay for government services where other cities, you know, were able to actually purchase a lot of new equipment that they needed and invest. We're doing it just to try to break even from a budget standpoint. It's unfortunate. It you know, but I'm very happy to be part of this new administration and be part of a process where we're fixing this and moving forward. We're going to get Derby out of tier one. We're going to get to a balanced budget. We're going to really change the financial landscape for the city. Mark, do you mind pulling up the deck just for those? Okay, no problem. And feel free to jump in and stop me at any point if anyone has any questions. I've obviously prepared, you know, sort of a summary of some of the key talking points, key information that I think everyone should at least have, you know, a general understanding of. But I've got the audits with me. If there's anything specific anybody has, I'll do my best to answer the questions. And then certainly follow up with anything I'm not 100% confident to answer. When we're doing budgeting, as you'll see as you look through this, there's one page where you compare actuals versus budget in the deck. There's geography issues all over the place in revenue and expenses. I think anyone, even somebody who's been in finance for a long time, would look at that page and go, okay, where are we? I don't know. I'm up millions of dollars in some categories and down millions of dollars in others. You know, that's something that we're going to have to continue to work toward. When we're doing the budgeting, when I work with the boat, you're always comparing to the previous budget. So to do a big wholesale change where we say, hey, look, we've been allocating or doing some of the accounting differently in our budget than what is actuals, and we need to fix it, that's easy to say, but very difficult to kind of get everybody to understand when you're, you know, and you've got all these other big issues going on. You know, so for example, this year we did try to tackle the police outside work and the fact that historically we've completely kind of under budgeted what that looks like and then missed huge amounts of expenses that the city has. And even that one piece was confusing to folks. Like, I don't understand. The budget used to be this. Why is it going up so much, right? But it was going up in revenues. It was going up in expenses. So the two were offsetting each other. But, you know, it's hard to wrap your head around this. When you go through this, there's a lot of things, especially in the Board of Ed, where we've got those issues. And like, you know, my plan is to, again, work with the boat to kind of ease into some of these changes that need to be made so that when you start to look at these audit reports and you're comparing it to the budget, there'll be variances for sure, but hopefully not millions of dollars of just geography where really budgeted in one bucket and then actualized in another bucket. But I'm going to do my best to kind of net all of those things out and cut through that so that everybody understands, all right, well, these are really the key points. This is where we're netting out. These are the important things that we need to address. And the rest, okay, we'll work with the boat and the budget to try to get these things in the right buckets going forward. But even in the upcoming budget 24-25, we're going to see some of these issues because it's just too hard to try to fix all of it at one time. Again, there was so many problems that we had to address, you know, that led to those tax increases that unfortunately we had to put in. We had to get people focused on the key issues. Comparing it to the prior budget is the easiest way to do that, as well as understanding where do we think we're going to land the year. So we'll work through that, and we'll continue to improve it. But speaking of the Board of Ed, just so when you look at some of these numbers, you know, if we net it all out, and we net the variances on the grant expense and the grant revenues offset by some of the operational expenses, at the end of the day, we budgeted $12.1 million in net, and we actualized at $12.8 million. So it's $700,000 variance. You know, not great. The bulk of that was special ed, and I'll talk about it a little bit more in a future slide. But, you know, I've talked with the Board of Ed, the finance team there, you know, we have to do better. You know, their budget's no different than anybody else's budget. It's not acceptable to be this far over. It's certainly not acceptable to not know that you're this far over, right? And that's the worst, I think, is if people understand what happened, they explain it, we're ready for it, that's one thing. When it's a surprise and it's like pulling teeth and nobody really knows, well, that's different. Then I have a little more concerned. So I think the board of alders, we've got to continue to look at it. We talked about it in the last board of alders meeting. There are certain items that we know for sure. We're not, you know, we had some geography between the city and you should have budgeted for it. I didn't budget for it. So there's a little of that going on, but really the bulk of this is just understanding the special ed budget, which to be fair is very volatile and can go up and down depending on people coming in and out of the district. Very hard to budget and forecast. And so I'm not going to, you know, to discount that, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. And these are the numbers. So that absolutely did lead to some of this deficit. The other point that I brought on before is the police outside work, where the city actually lost almost $538,000 in the 2022-23 fiscal year with police outside work. And I think most folks would have thought, well, are we supposed to be making money on that or breaking even at best? And you'd be right. I think that's what most people thought. But with the, when you factor in the retirement costs, when you factor in the collection rates and some of the challenges that we've had, at least in this time period when, well, before I came, there was practically no collection efforts outside of an initial invoice going out. After that, forget about it. So, you know, this is definitely getting better. We've already put in, you know, follow-up letters, calls, you know, we're really going after this money. So we fixed that. But there still are some pricing issues that are locked into the police union contract that we don't have the ability to just change at our whim. So the mayor and myself, we're going to, that's part of the negotiation. We're going to try to improve the margins and get back to break even with a lot of this work. But, you know, that's going to unfortunately be tied up with the police union contract negotiation. And I can't give a good time frame for how long that could take to fix. So one of the favorable items versus budget is not a good thing. So if we're able to earn $80,000 on the capital expense side, but that's because we had no LOSIP, there was no capital planning, no capital investment. So, okay, it helped the general fund, but it's not, you know, what we want. And I'm very excited that we got the five-year capital plan approved recently. We're going to this year, with the current 23-24 budget, use our general capital account and funds to purchase much needed police vehicles. So we're getting in the direction again with this administration, but where we've got, you know, this is about kind of what was done in the past. And unfortunately in the past, capital investment was just not happening. And the big challenge when you're self-insured as the city is budgeting for employee benefits. Employee benefits, medical, dental, workers' compensation, funding people's HSAs, right? All of that comes into what I'm going to call employee benefits. And that's for the city and Board of Ed. That's for everyone. The budget in this particular 22-23 was $8.7 million. The actual was $9.6 million or $900,000 unfavorable. Now, in the last Board of Alders meeting, you know, I talked about $1.4 million to close the gap in the current fiscal year, 23-24. I budgeted $8 million. $9.6 million last year and budgeted $8 million. So, you know, I hope 1.4 is going to end up being enough. Some of this 9.6 is a little inflated because the previous administration, finance department, didn't properly calculate what the IBNR should be. And IBNR and insurance lingo is kind of incurred, but not yet received. So it's claims you think is going to happen in the future, but has not happened. Typically, it's an actuarial type of calculation. But you know, when we switched over to PMA from Travelers, Travelers still had a lot of that history. And you needed that data to calculate, well, what do I think the claims are going to be in the future? And nobody talked to Travelers, and it was excluded. So when I went and talked and got the information from Travelers, you get the information from PMA, when all of a sudden your liability goes up dramatically. again, this is something that could have easily been avoided. It inflated the prior year, made it look better. I'm not sure exactly why the diligence wasn't done to go get all of the right information from the vendors and give it to our auditor, but it didn't happen. I do expect that this issue will repeat itself. Typically, an IBNR does not have this kind of huge variance year on year. It's not meant to be a driver or a big problem, but unfortunately, this year it was. So next, I'll talk a little bit specifically about the general fund revenues in a budget versus actuals. There's a few main categories of revenues, right? We've got our property taxes. That's the bulk. Car tax, real estate, personal property, and so on. Well, it's about $33 million in budget. The original and the final budget are the same. No one ever passed anything differently, so you can kind of ignore the two columns. They're the same number. But the actuals came to $31.766 million, well, about a $1.6 million variance. So this is a little geography. And again, just poor budgeting. I budgeted every vehicle cap tax reimbursement in a different bucket than where it should have been. So that was 543. But almost $1 million, $999,000, was just because of the assumption that was used on collection rates, right? I mean, again, we saw in this year's budget where you just overstate what you think the collection rate's going to be so that you can jack up the revenues, and, you know, that way you can avoid, you know, raising taxes or doing anything else, because on paper, everything looks good. But what happens is, like, you can budget what you want, but the actuals are real, and they come up and they show up now. And this is the problem, right? And so you now it's after the fact. Now you can't address that. So, you know, again, fortunately, this year, this administration, we're not going to do that. We budgeted the appropriate collection rates, and we did what we had to do in order to raise revenues by raising taxes. So, you know, again, this will be something that's going to carry forward. You'll see it likely in the 23-24 budget, because that'll be the last budget that was completed by the previous administration. 24-25, new administration, new budget, new process, we should be good. From an intergovernmental side, these are a lot of the grant monies that come in between mostly the Board of Ed, but some for the city as well. This is where you see a lot of the huge geography issues. So, you know, $9.6 million favorable. You know, we didn't get $9.6 million more than we thought we were going to get. Okay, it's just we didn't budget it appropriately, meaning that we budgeted that a lot of that was going to net out. So, you know, you had roughly $8.8 million of expenses. So rather than budget $8.8 million in revenue and $8.8 million of expenses, they just netted it out and didn't budget anything. Right, but when the actuals come in, you really should have done it that way. You should have done it so that you can understand what the true revenues are coming in at versus what are our true expenses going out. So, you know, we'll call most of that pickup geography, right? But again, the rest of it is the motor vehicle tax, which again, it's all geography. And truthfully, that makes sense, because there would be no reason to be either favorable or unfavorable on grant money. Now, you should know what that looks like when you're setting your budget. I mean, sometimes the governor might change it, or what gets passed is a little different. So, you know, it's nothing perfect, but really, you shouldn't have huge variances. And if you are, it should be like this, where it's basically geography. From the city departments, which is the next big variance we're talking about, the budget is almost $947,000 use of fund balance. So what does that mean? That meant that the administration knew when they put their revenues and their expenses down, they were short. They were short almost $947,000. They had more expenses than they had revenue. So they said, all right, well, we'll use the fund balance to cover it. And so you do that. It's kind of like a budget item. Now, it doesn't actualize there, okay? It's like a placeholder, if you will. It shows up in the net when you're done, like the money's not there, so it shows up. But it doesn't actually get booked in the revenue line, Okay. So really, somebody put a placeholder on for $947,000 because they were just more expenses than revenue, and they didn't want to try to figure out another way to cover it. So they used the fund balance, which we're running out of, right? I mean, like I said, we're down to 2.5 million now. Having not done a lot of these things, I could easily see us being at zero or negative. So fortunately, that's not the case. Fortunately, we did take a lot of those actions. Again, that's just, it's not good budgeting to just say, oh, well, we're short, so we'll just use the fund balance money. You should be at 10% of your revenues in fund balance, which would put us circa 5 million. We're 2.5, right? So we're nowhere near where we need to be. But right now, we're just really fighting to get back to even, to get to a balanced budget. Not go broke along the way from a fund balance standpoint. And then we'll see if we can build that up over time. The other big geography item is WPCA principal interest payments. So this is just geography. It should be netted out, right? So the city will pay for the, out of their bank account, they'll pay for the WPCA payments, but then they get the money back. Okay, so from a budget standpoint, somebody said, okay, well, you're gonna get the money back, and that's revenue, and you're gonna pay for it. That's an expense. So that's how it got budgeted. But an auditor looks at it and goes, no, WPCA is separate. It's fine if the money flows in and out through city, but you net all that out. You don't actualize revenue and expense. Sometimes like I said, with a board of ed, it'd be different. Sometimes because it's part of the city, it will happen that way, but WPCA is not. I don't think it's a terrible budgeting practice. I like more visibility than less. So it is important to understand that you're going to have 1.4 million in payments going out the door for debt. Otherwise, it's buried on the balance sheet and a little harder to find. Not invisible, but harder to find. Well, the piece that said work. So, yes, that was up $579,000 in revenue, right? Again, the historical practice was to budget a very low revenue number, a very low expense number. In practicality, what comes in is, you get more revenue, but you get way more expenses, okay? And then thus the $500,000 problem this year. So, the net of all of it, right? Even though, on paper, it says, well, I'm up 6.2 million in revenue. But if you measure all the geography and all of the back foot, normally this is a $2 million revenue shortfall in my mind. Okay. And that's the bulk of the problem that we had that drove down a lot of our general fund issues. Get difficult to get, I understand. So now we'll talk a little bit about the general fund expenses versus budget. Bulk of our expenses outside the board of ed the board of ed and general government, almost $15.8 million, slightly favorable. $175,000 is percentage, pretty low percentage. You're talking a little over 1%. So a lot of different departments in there. Netting out, but net, more or less, a lot of those departmental stuff is I could tell you, the department heads do a pretty good job with their budget and their expenses and managing it. It's a good process in place. What those have broken down is that all these other expenses, specifically benefits and things like that, are huge buckets of money that it would be fall on the finance director or the administration to come up with those numbers. And that's where we've had all the problems in the past, in the present, right? But fortunately not in the future. So, public safety, right? So this is the area we saw the higher police outside work revenue. We're always seeing the higher expenses on this side. Almost 791,000, right? So there actually was a few good guys in there to offset some of that shortfall. But not enough. On the board of ed side, we talked about, we saw there was a huge revenue positive variances, but now we're seeing a huge negative expense side. 7.8 million geography, right? So we'll knock that out. But now you're back to the 700,000 we talked about as what we missed in the budget. 500,000 being special ed, with over $200,000 being this issue around who's supposed to budget for the insurance waivers, who's budgeting for security guard. You know, unfortunately, no one budgeting for them, and they are real expenses. So, you know, again, something that this one's going to haunt us for a little while. It was kind of unfortunately uncovered after this year's budget was done. So we know we've got about a $200,000 issue that Bo and myself are going to have to tackle in the upcoming year. But, you know, at least now there's some visibility because this has been happening forever, right? And it is important that we address it, we understand it, we talk about it, and then we can fix things. If it's buried in a document somewhere and nobody ever talks about it, we'll never fix anything. So for a debt service, again, this is where that negative 1.373 million now is, here's the positive. So again, it's a wash between revenues and expenses. It shows up like a good guy. And we talked a little bit about the capital outlay and what that was from. And then some of these other departments, typically, like I say, are generally a little bit favorable, but a lot smaller numbers and a lot smaller variances. So where does that leave us? So if you look at now, okay, well, we talked about revenues, we talked about the expenses. What is that net? What kind of thing? Well, now we're at the 1.892 million of fund balance deficit, which brings us down to the 2.582. This is a very important slide, very important, you know, financial piece of information to understand. I think if you only go into look at one or two things in these documents, you want to focus on these pages and understand this piece of things. Because, you know, when I talk to MFAC about, you know, triggers that, you know, might make things worse, right? Fund balance going deficit was a trigger that they brought up. If you have a negative fund balance, that is probably the worst it can get. And that's where, you know, they almost throw up their arms and then they'll maybe kick you to the next level, which would be, you know, MARB, right? So that's something we have to keep an eye on. The 2.6, that's where it's getting very nervous. Like I said, I'm feeling much better after all the actions this year. I think hopefully this is only going to continue to grow at this point, but you know, that's what we have to keep an eye on. The next bit, we'll talk a little bit about the city's debt. It's always important to understand, okay, this is how we're doing today with their expenses and our revenues, but let's not forget about the long term. What are our long term obligations? Durbin has over 20 million in total debt outstanding, which means that over the next bunch of years, right, we've got to pay down that $20 million. And that will feed into, you got interest. You know, we can look at refinancing debt for sure. What I've seen is that it seems like unless you can get an interest rate lower, and this would be me, just my own personal finances, right? I wouldn't refinance that unless I could get a lower interest rate. We have, you know, these interest rates 3-5%. 2-5%, pretty low. I don't know, especially in this environment, if I'm going to be able to do much better than that. I'm sure our bond council would be happy to refinance the debt, get fees, lower our year one payments, right? Spend out the debt and pay more longer. But that's not something I would do personally with, you know, my mortgage, for example, right? I wouldn't refinance just to pay a little less now, but a lot more in the future. And I wouldn't recommend doing it for the city. So I think, you know, when we do have this bond offering coming up, right? So I talked a little bit about the $3 million in bands. Between a bond and a bond, bonds long term, bands are short term. So we issued the bands in recently for the road. $3 million, but That is usually like 6 month increments. They give you those, and you pay a lot of fees. You pay higher interest rates. You really do want to bond that out, and so that'll be October. You can certainly bond it out whether you've spent it or not, but you know ideally you've spent the money. You know, you can get into some trouble where if you haven't spent the money, you're not allowed to earn interest on it. There's certain rules around it. So one of the things I made sure to mention at the last board meeting was, now that we've recovered so much money from LOSIP for the roads, it's going to leave us with about $1.5 million to figure out, you know, for the roads around Derby, whether that's redoing the high school, you know, parking lot, or doing some more roads, whatever we want to do. But we got to figure it out, and we're going to make that a priority in the coming months, especially being this is the time of year to do it. So hopefully we get that sorted out, and then I can find a bank to refinance these bonds into a bond at hopefully not too high of an interest rate. I don't know if it'll be as low as what we've been historically getting, but we'll see what we can do. The most recent debt was the Johnson Control $5.6 million note payable. I brought this one up because we're not only paying down the debt like anything else, right? Your principal and interest, but Johnson Control hasn't even finished this yet. And we still owe them money for the original work that they've done. So that's going to come up at some point, because the way it's supposed to work is if you were to borrow $6 million because a project costs $6 million, you get the $6 million, and when the invoice comes for $6 million, you pay it. But the previous administration, in this example, used the $6 million for other things, to actually just pay down the annual principal and interest, which you're not supposed to do. And unfortunately, now that's left us with no money, right? So now I got to pay them for the work they've done, and all the money that I borrowed is gone, right? So we're not talking huge dollars. I think there's only a couple $100,000 left, but it's just the poor decision-making. You're not supposed to do that. It's leaving us in a bad spot in a time when we don't need it, right? Because people were just doing things they shouldn't have been doing. So that's something that, again, one of these days when they finish this project, the boat, myself, are going to have to address. So that a little bit about bonds and our debt. We'll touch a little bit about the pension. Always a exciting topic. What you've got here is a 5-year view of how this is kind of shook out over time. Well, what's the best way to read this? I think the best thing to understand is that you have your costs, right, which is really your benefit payments that are going out the door. So we've got a lot of retirees and other folks that were paying out that pension. So in 2023, that was, you know, $1.2 million. The interest piece of it is the money that you've guaranteed these pensioners and said, look, I'm going to guarantee you 50% of your salary for the rest of your life, okay? Well, in order to make that a reality, there's a certain percentage of return that you need to make on your money that they've contributed in order to continue to fund that. So that's really kind of what that number is. And, you know, so that's why the obligation continues to grow. Even if no one goes on the pension again, which they're not, right? Because it got cut off in, I think it was 2017 or something. That number is still going to grow because the folks that are on the pension, they get older, they retire. Now even more goes out, and then you have more that you owe them. So that, you know, if you run all that out, you get to this ending balance of $23.1 million. So that's kind of like what the liability is that the city is on the hook for. Now, what do we do about it? Well, we put $1 million in 2023 to try to help, right? $1 million gets invested in stocks, bonds, other things, along with everything else that's in this category, right? So the members contribute a little bit, out of their paychecks, the active members anyway. So out of their paycheck comes a little bit into the pension, they kick it in. And obviously we invest the money. That's why the city has a treasurer. It's Maria Collins' responsibility to work with different investment houses to invest the money appropriately, get a good rate of return. And hopefully that increases this net investment line. You know, look, it's a double-edged sword. As you see, these numbers have fluctuated dramatically over years, right? 2021, post-COVID, 5.5 million, right? So I remember to be, I think if you had invested in the stock market pre-COVID, and then you know, you waited it out a little bit, you saw, oh, wow, money really came through. Well, the city was no different. Then 22 came, money went back down again, right? And now 23, it's back up again. So look, this is volatile. It's going to be like this. It tells you, you know, it lets you know, like I'm investing not just in bonds. I'm not just investing in something 100% safe. Like there's risk. You know, we're investing in stocks, and there's the good with that and the bad with that.
Can I just ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
With respect to the Johnson Controls notes, what are they?
They're more or less, you could think of it like bond debt. Okay, it's we borrowed the money from a bank to pay Johnson Controls roughly $6 million to do a bunch of work around the city in the different buildings to try to improve energy efficiency.
And when was this? Was this recent or?
2019, I want to say around that was the time it started. Like I said, most of it got completed, but there's still one more piece that's not done. The portion that was covered by the state, but we've been working with corporate counsel to try to get those funds, which when we get them, we'll ultimately just have to use to pay Johnson Controls, but. If we don't get them, then we're, you know, the city's on the hook for it. And that was like $1.2 million. So that's, we got to get that money to pay them. We don't want to get into kind of some kind of lawsuit over the whole thing.
Now, for something like this, did this go through like the Board of Alders to get approved? Or it's no?
Here's the issue with something like this. Well, oftentimes companies will come in and they will. So look, this costs $6 million, but you're going to get $10 million in savings over time. Whether you get the $10 million in savings or not, hopefully you do, it doesn't mean you don't have to pay back the $6 million that you borrowed, right? And oftentimes that's not crystal clear to the finance director, the mayor, who are signed up for it. They just hear, it'll pay for itself, right? Okay, fine. You know, so like, you have the solar panels, right? Like, oh, but, free, put it on, you know, or whatever. It's gonna be free. You know, I know you're free, right? You should be concerned. It never is, and I think part of the reason why they use some of that money to pay for it that first year was they didn't have it. They weren't expecting it. They didn't know it was gonna pay back the $6 million, and so then the bill came from the bank. I thought the savings were gonna come, and then you start arguing about, well, did the savings really come? Because it's very difficult to quantify, you know, did the kilowatt usage come down everywhere where it's supposed to be, and then rates change? So, you know, your bill might look the same. Johnson Controls might have, well, you save money because, you know, but not for the rate change, you would have had less. You know, I've reviewed some of the raw materials. They have year one, year two out, where they talk about what the kilowatt usage savings were or the expected savings were. If anyone wants to see them, I can certainly provide them. Again, I'm not a huge fan of these programs. I think there's probably other, but you know, lots of times cities will use them just to raise funds, right? So they'll say, and just because they said as much, hey, you can borrow more money because I can go to a bank and tell them you're going to save more money with our project. That's okay, thank you. We'll figure out ways to borrow it. But that's what happens. Mm-hmm. The city is a city, right? And truthfully, I do not know who, if anyone, approved it, right? I know on the contract, the mayor and the finance director signed it, the deal. So certainly they were, you know, they signed it, right? Now, who they reached out to in order to get approval, I can't speak to.
I have one more question, but not for you. Brian, so in the charter, would that be something that we could look at in the charter to see if that is something that was supposed to be done? Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. We were talking about pension. Where are we? Okay. Yeah, so... I'm sorry. Is that, we certainly continue. Or is that we're good with Johnson Controls for now? I'm sure there'll be something we'll have to talk about in the coming year when the bill comes due. But
yeah, and I would just want to make sure, and I understand all the issues that occurred in the past with the past administration, but I think that's a definite, you know, great point. We can't go back, but we need to move forward, and we need to make sure we're putting in practices, policies, procedures that are going to protect us from these kind of things happening again and again without going through the proper channels for approval.
Sure. So the punchline with all this, and I would say, look, if you're not a numbers person and this all just kind of like a big jump mess, focus on that last line. Percentages. That percentage is really important. That tells me, okay, how many assets do I have against the liability? And right now, the city, as of 2023, is at 80.33%, which is very good. It means, for the most part, we're 80% funded. If not a dollar got put into this thing again, we'd only have to be on the hook for this roughly $4.5 million over time. Okay, so that's how you should think about that. And you can see it's been a little higher. It's hovered around this range. Definitely a little bit better feeling for all of the different pieces that go into it. So while we're not able to fund $1 million this year, and we had to pull back as one of our levers in order to help offset some of these other costs, I don't expect it to be a material impact to this overall calculation when we look at this 6 months from now. And I would say that percentage, you know, again, depending, you never know whether depending on returns in the stock market, you know, maybe it stays at 80, maybe it's 79, 78. It's not something that in any 1 year is going to like fall off the map, right? The 17, well, now it's $18.6 million is in an account being invested, being watched over. It's not going to disappear on us, right? So the other post-retirement benefits, commonly known as OPEB. So these are benefits, medical, dental, that are obligations that the city's going to have for its pension folks. That's different than I'm going to pay half your salary for the rest of your life, right? This is, hey, I'm going to also now cover your benefits. So unlike the pension program where we've got $17 to $18 million in an account somewhere, earning and investing to help offset this future liability, we have nothing here. Okay. And MFAC has brought that up to me in one of our meetings. You know, how are we going to address this? I mean, the reality is our current funding policies pay benefits directly out of the general fund, pay as you go basis. So as those expenses occur, we pay them. There are a lot of them in our budget. There's obvious volatility, go up and down. It's something that we're going to have to budget and do every year. It's not unheard of, this approach, right? But it can lead to financial strain over time. the fact that the pension's kind of been stopped and not adding a bunch more people in it helps, right? It limits the potential risk in the future. This thing isn't going to, you know, grow exponentially over time and continue to eat up our budget. So I think, Ron, I think this path is okay, right? I mean, I would love to be able to have money to create an investment account and do something like we do with the pension. And I'm sure that's what MFAC would also like us to do. But, you know, the reality is we probably would take care of the pension first if we had the money before we moved over to this piece of it. So, but like I said, MFAC's brought it up as an issue. I'm bringing it up to all of you so you're aware of it. You know, it's $27 million, so it's not a small number.
So didn't under GASB going back, didn't they require that municipalities fund a portion and have it kind of set aside into a separate account?
I think you have the ability to kind of set up these accounts. I don't think they're required to, right? Again, it's highly recommended, not just for retirement benefits, but even for the existing benefits, where you would kind of create an account, and whether you, if you underspend, well, now you got more money for next year in case you overspend. So you kind of keep like a fund going. It didn't really work for that one because if you budget $8 million and you spend $9.5 million, well, it'd be great if I run the fund, right? We could have covered some of the shortfall, but it was never done. So establishing a fund is kind of secondary on my list. Like, first thing was figure out a way to fund the shortfall, which we did with ARPA. Thank you, all the board. And secondarily, now, right, we got to budget appropriately. And now that's where the vote came in, raise taxes. It said, look, you know, we're not going to get money out of air. So that's about the only way we're going to get it. And that's how we balance the budget. I think when we get on stable ground, if we want to talk about creating this kind of separate account where for benefits, whether they're current active employees or retirement employees, we'll have that conversation. But we gotta fix the big problem that, you know, is right now, right? And in addition to, well, we talked about how we're self-insured, and you know, the mayor and I, we're looking at a lot of different providers, not only to save money, but to reduce risk. And so, you know, going to a fully insured plan, especially one that the state runs, is something I'm pushing for in the coming year. It will provide a lot of stability. You know, typically it's a 3-year deal. You're locked in. You know what you're in for. You don't have any risk if benefits are up. It might not necessarily be a lot cheaper than what we're paying right now. But, you know, if we, you know, 3 years is a long time. Medical costs are always going up. It's definitely something I'm going to work with the mayor to try to make happen.
And that's for medical you're talking, right?
Yeah, medical, right, correct, yeah.
Is there any plan of going out to bid for the medical?
Well, we work with our broker on a few different options, and we almost did switch, right? And our current provider came back at the last minute and really brought down their administrative costs and reduced their fees to get it a little more in line with what one of the competitors was offering. So it wasn't, Warren's done a great job trying to renegotiate all of these deals best he can. But especially with something like medical, where the bulk of the cost is just whether people get sick and use it or not, you know, it's not so much those administrative fees. You don't have a ton of room to, you know, there's not a lot you can do, I guess, right?
Yeah, because I represent a group in Derby. The costs were significant as far as the increase.
Right, correct. I mean, and we reduced some of those costs compared to what we should have increased it by, right? Which would just be how much it's gone up over the last couple of years. And again, to avoid that, we need to get to a fully insured plan where we've got stability over a period of time, and you know, employees don't have to worry about their healthcare, the portion that they're paying on their check, increasing dramatically in any given year. So another thing I want to just touch on briefly is the WPCA. While I know everyone thinks, well, it's a separate entity, it isn't. It isn't, right? It's still very much part of the city. It's part of the audit. It's still the city's responsibility to make sure that WPCA is operating properly, is funded. So I highlight a few things that the WPCA board's often asking me questions about, things like, how much cash do we have, right? $7.5 million is the answer to that question. Part of the reason, the way the WPCA is generating cash right now is their normal sewer use, right, which is based on the water bills, and also the capital fees that they're collecting. I'll talk a little bit more on the next slide about the capital fees and where we're going there, but at the end of the day, you know, we've been collecting that money because we know we've got a lot of expenses in the future to pay down the debt and to also for plant improvements. So that's why that's kind of building up. It does help the city when I'm trying to go out and bond for debt, right? I can use that cash balance as kind of part of the whole city. You know, when MFAC saw our general fund balance, they got very nervous. And well, you guys have liquidity issues. I said, no. Worst goes on worse, you've got the WPCA over here that's got cash. Now, look, we're not supposed to touch it, but it's there if you need to. And it helped kind of MFAC. So, you know, we appreciate it, but it's at the end of the day, again, a lot of that's going to be used, and I'll talk about that on the next slide. When the city borrowed $3 million in bands for roads, WPCA borrowed some money as well to, again, continuing on the improvements. There was a big referendum. Talk a little bit about the next slide, but they end up paying down $1 million of it because, you know, like I said, if you're not going to use it in the immediate term, you're just paying interest on these things. So, you know, the road bonds, right? We're paying interest on it. If it's, you know, while it's not bonded, I can put it in an account where I'm kind of break even, so it's not really hurting us. But at the same time, you got to do something with this. Either you pay things down or you use it. So the next slide talks a little bit about the debt at the WPCA and we're at $13.375 million in debt as of June 30th. There was a referendum many years ago, which authorized $31.2 million in borrowings for plant upgrades. That's the pump station and the plant itself, of which about $19.6 million has been issued, including $2 million in more recent bands that again are ready to bond. And we're hoping to bond it with the roads just so you get less fees. You do it all at once. It makes sense. That leaves about $11.6 million left in bond funds available to draw down for future plant upgrades. However, right now there's estimates with Department of Energy and Environment Protection, commonly known as DEEP, where they're evaluating. Well, these are not small upgrades that need to be made to this plant. This plant is decades past its useful life. Significant investment is needed, maybe as much as $60 million. Right. So, it's going to be really critical that we keep an eye on this. We'll likely hear back from them toward the end of the year, at which point we're going to have to figure out what to do. You know, I mean, in worst case scenario, we can't have 3.5 million gallons of sewage per day being dumped into the Housatonic. So it's not something you can ignore. I think there's lots of options. The timing is in the future, right? This is not an immediate issue, but it's still something that we have to have in the back of our minds and understand, whether you're on the city side or WPCA side of the business, because ultimately it's the city's obligation. I know some of our sister cities have sold their WPCA plants. I'm open to revisiting all options when it comes to what to do about the WPCA, whether it's then more bonding or selling or whatever. But we'll see. We'll start to discuss this likely more next year, and then we'll figure it out. So lastly, I just want to touch on the audit findings. So there were 10 significant deficiencies in the audit findings, none of which have been repeated from previous years, right, in many, many, many years. So, you know, we did take a step back from that perspective. These are the same findings that to be fair, it's difficult. Right? When you're this far behind in your audits, like we have been, you miss the window to fix it because by the time the audit gets done, the other one is ready to go again. And, so I know this time around, I've had a couple weeks to try to digest all of these issues and talk to your auditor about, some of them are with the Board of Ed, some of them are the city. How do we address as many as possible in the short window we've got? So, it's been a hectic few weeks. I was just today talking with the library director about how, they've got a separate bank account. We don't have visibility into it. It's not rocket science that's not good, right? City needs, they have to control everything. I'm not going to tell anybody what they have to do, but they have to be able to see it. When funds come in, grant money comes in, you spend it how much you spend it on, but we just need the same transparency and visibility with everything that's going on in the library that we do with the bulk of it, right? And again, we're not talking big dollars here that are in these bank accounts, small stuff, but it's the principle of it, and I get that, right? It's very easy to have theft and things like that if you've got no oversight or visibility. I can't see their bank account. I have no idea what happened, right? But if they got robbed blind, who are they going to come to, right? To put a bailout, right? So I think that's something we'll be able to fix and get taken care of. Bloomberg has a similar issue on the bailout side, so they're working on their side. I think how many reviews of the bank racks. We've done a lot better job this year, certainly at least since I've been here. Ultimately, there's never enough time in the day. It gets difficult to carve out the time, but it's necessary. It's really, I tell you, the other big challenge, right, is with all of the adjusting entries that needed to be done with this audit, and there was probably 40, 45 of them, I think. You never knew where your balances were. So it was difficult to really roll up your sleeves and try to dig into, all right, well, what's the right answer when you knew everything was going to move. So kind of constantly back in my mind, like, all right, like, let's just wait till the audit's done. We'll find out what the real number should be on the new system and get that fixed. And then we can kind of go from there. So, unfortunately, with the changeover in the system, not everything got transferred over properly. Ton of adjustments, it makes a lot of this extra work that needs to be done just seem somewhat futile because you're not going to get to the right answer no matter what you do. And it's very frustrating, but we'll continue to work on that. Audit schedules are information unavailable in a timely manner. I mean, I don't know, I got here in December, it really felt like not much had gone to them, which is, it should be done by December. So, at that point, unfortunately, the old system, the auditor had the extract from the old system. I never even saw it, never had access to it. So once the numbers were done, it was all the supporting stuff, get them everything we could. But the core and the bulk of the issues, right, was kind of done and gone. And didn't have a chance to review it, change it. It was, and fortunately, this year I do. And so I expect to be better, but... and we'll absolutely get them to schedules early. So, we're not going to wait. So I think we can address this one. Board of Ed accounts payable, Board of Ed cash, APAR in the city. A lot of these themes are going to be coordination between the Board of Ed and city, right? I mean, Board of Ed needs money for payroll, city sends it to them, Board of Ed needs their expenses, but the full tracking of exactly how much is going to the Board of Ed versus their budget hasn't been getting done. So, that's why we end up with how does the Board of Ed ever send out 1,000? Well, it's because we let them, right? We gave them the money. So, if we had been tracking it better, we might have known that up front, right? Because if your budget's 20 million and I gave you 21 million, well, we got a problem, right? So that's one thing that wasn't in place that needs to go in place, and it will help offset any kind of risk to the Board of Ed budgets.
Can I just touch on that? I mean, because it seems like there's a good number of these that do have to deal with the Board of Education. And I know you have worked with Robbie a lot. Are there new plans, policies in place that are going to address these so that, you know, there's more transparency, proper recording? I mean,
we're certainly in the early stages of trying to map out what that looks like and put that in place. It's difficult. We're on two different systems, right? And so that doesn't help. Two sets of staff. Both sides are very busy, right? And historically, like I said, people just, it's a lot easier, like, okay, whatever. We know we got to fund your payroll. We don't want people not, you know, so you just fund it, you know, and but clearly we've got to get better, right? We've got to put some of these things in place because we can't have the Board of Ed missing as much as they've been missing and not figure it out until now, right? When the audit's done. I think that's, whether it's Board of Ed or other expenses, that's how the past administrations has kind of gotten away with it, right? I mean, how much time do we spend on transferring small amounts of dollars between departments? If not hundreds of thousands of dollars are being spent anyway, right? And so I think there's, we're really kind of focused on the wrong things, you know, and some of it's just the way things are set up and how it works. And, you know, look, it's easy to say, I didn't know. And, you know, well, that's not acceptable, right? Like, you have to kind of know.
So I know that's the past, which I kind of figured that because I was on the board last time and very short, but they were talking about money for the Board of Ed, which they gave, right? And then the Board of Ed came back and they gave more money. I just felt like something was not right. So I'm glad that you kind of dug into it and you found out that there was an issue. So my question to you is, what are you going to do differently since you're here?
So what we need this year with the new budget is, you know, like you talked about, just tracking how much money and cash we're sending them and for what purposes, right? So
how are you going to get the two teams to work together collectively so this error doesn't happen? Like 4 years from now, we're not saying the same thing.
Well,
even though I don't think we will be.
It's fair point. The teams have been working together, but I think what it is they haven't taken that step to say, all right, we're going to keep track of, you know, the money I'm sending you and what it's for. And we're going to start getting more reporting from the Board of Ed. I know the Board of Ed have asked for a monthly report. I'm going to get the same monthly report. And it's, you know, what it should tell us is, again, you know, where are they running hot and why? So that if they're, you know, if they think they're going to be, you know, on paper in their system, they're over $500,000, but they're like, well, it's okay because the city budgeted this and the city budgeted that. Well, no, I didn't, right? Like, we didn't talk about that. So for sure, those issues will easily get resolved. I think the harder ones are the every day or every other day, right? Well, you know, just at least certainly once a week, right? Well, I need the money for this. I need the money for that. And then, okay, well, Let me put my own spreadsheet over here, or my own reporting to track how much money I'm giving you and what it's for. Because I think in the past, right, people said, well, look, Board of Ed's not my problem. Right? You know, they got their own team and city's not my problem. And again, that doesn't work, right? Like you said, you know, we got to not only collaborate like we have, but, you know, there's going to be checks and balances on our side on what's going on over there. I think the other thing that's, we'll talk with the audit about is just moving more of the funds into the city, right? Similar like we talked about with the library, right? If all the funds come to the city and then go out, then we're not having this problem, right? Because I know exactly what they're getting and what they're spending on. But because some funds only go to them and some expenses only go to them, right? Unless you get the report on and somebody telling you what's going on, how do you know? How do you know what's happening? So we're gonna, you know, we're gonna get better reporting. We're gonna start tracking monies that are coming and going. And hopefully we can avoid people on repeat.
Aisa, just as Brian stated, our board requested a monthly report for the Board of Ed financials. You know, it may be worth it for the tax board to also, you know, get that breakdown. And, you know, maybe we as board members invite, you know, representatives from Board of Ed financial. Brian obviously comes, you know, to ask questions, and, you know, maybe we can help in the accountability.
And what did you also have them come together?
Exactly.
And what did you call that? The request from the Board of
a monthly financial report. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So something similar to provide the board on the city side, right? We'll get something from the Board of Ed side, and actually offered up to send what I send to the city to the Board of Alders as well, so that they've really got the entire picture of where we are financially. I mistakenly feel like, even though it's all out there, that everybody's looking at it, but I get it. Like, people are busy, they've got other things going on. So, you know, we'll make sure really make a point. Here's this month's report from the city, this month's report from the Board of Ed. What's it telling us? Because the Board of Ed reports and their system are kind of brutal, quite honestly, to look at, as far as all the different line items of detail, real eye charts. So I'll have to work with Robbie maybe on trying to summarize a little bit better for folks, kind of like I do at the city at certain levels. But we'll figure that out.
Would that be something that NEFAC would be, supportive of? I mean, it would seemingly be more oversight, more transparency, more check and balance.
Absolutely. I mean, we certainly have questioned, you know, because we do provide some of that reporting to NEFAC, and they have looked at it. They have questioned a lot of the time, you know, well, this isn't looking good, right? And then it's, well, no, we're going to be on track. But what you don't understand is, well, the reason why they think they're on track is because they think somebody else budgeted over there, and that's just not reality, right? So, it makes it even the Board of Ed board, right? They're getting information that everything's good, we're on track, and it's just a lot of it, you know, a lot of confusion and a lot of, so, you know, definitely have to fix that. And it's the Board of Ed's, you know, the difficult animal, right? They get a lot of grant monies coming in. They have to do a little better job organizing their systems and you know, where the grant money's going versus their expenses. They often are commingling the funds. So that's been a problem. And there's certain schedules that need to be created each year that this, you know, really mostly Board of Ed, but city, you know, can help, and they got to do it. But, you know, historically we've just been like, we'll have Roger do it. And it's not right. They're not supposed to, and we get written up every year for it. You know, as I mentioned when we were talking about extending the auditor, I mean, there's certain information that only he has. You know, there was depreciation schedules for WPCA. No, I had. Right? Only he had it. Small city grants that went out, nobody knew what the status of them, but he had it, right? So these are things that we've got to take from him and start doing ourselves, so that, you know, whether we have John as our auditor or somebody else, right, they're not going to come in and go, well, where's this, where's that, where, you know. So a lot of things to really work through, and, you know, more work that we've got to do. And then, like, the worst of the worst was just the prior year audit adjustments not being posted. I mean, that's really like a slap in the face to the auditor, right? I mean, that probably delayed him a month, I mean, more. He, to do all this work, you know, like I said, 45 entries, to not post any of it. So now he's got to go figure out 45 entries to get to a starting point before he can then deal with it. It was not good. I'm going to make sure that it doesn't happen this year. We're going to get everything posted, going to make sure everything ties out to what he thinks, so that at least when we start this audit, we're all on the same page with the starting point, and he can just focus on what happened and not try to go back in time and think about, oh my God, okay, so all this stuff happened last year, make all these adjustments to get to this place, and now I can start to. So that one for sure will fix. So those were the main things I wanted to bring your attention, but certainly there's lots of other information in there. Happy to address anything tonight or in the future as they come up. So, you know, sure, absolutely.
You know how you said that some of the funds were commingled? How did you find out which ones they went to? Was it, so the money was, so it was different things and money was put in one bucket, but how did you know how to separate it? Did you get like invoices and stuff like that? I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. So the auditor charges $30,000. That's the short answer to that one. Yeah, I mean, that certainly contributes to the extra audit costs. And we talked about the, you know, about doing an RFP, and we looked at the invoice. You know, John says, oh, look, to do a good audit, it's $80,000. But if you're not in good shape, right, that number is going to go up, right? So, yeah, I mean, how to do an RFP, right? You almost have to throw it out the window, because until you fix everything, you have no idea what it's really going to end up costing you. Because once they get in there, they're going to say, wow, look, this is a disaster, right? And that's unfortunately a lot of what happened at the Board of Ed, that they need to a lot of extra help unwinding things and doing things, and it's not cheap.
And so, I can understand, because those audits are, because I've dealt with some at my financial company in the past, and it's awful. And they always give you current, so it's hard to go back and do it when you're working on the current issues. So
yeah, no, it's, and government audits are, have you done a government audit before too? Yeah, they're way worse. They're much more detailed, and they just take so much longer because they really go through every entry.
Well, thank you.
So, yeah, sure. Great.
No, so we'll go, obviously we'll go to number six, questions from the board members to Brian. We've asked some already. Is there anybody else that have any other questions?
I would just make a comment, you know, when looking at this document that Mark did provide, federal single audit, state single audit reports. You know, the auditor did list a lot of recommendations. Management certainly had a response for everything, but it seemed like a lot was what was repeated, you know, from the MFAC report. Definitely, I think that's why we're probably all here. You know, lack of policy, lack of procedure, lack of follow through with reporting. And I would just hope that we're taking the steps necessary to ensure that we're setting up those policies, practices, procedures moving forward, so we're not going to be sitting here again another year saying, yep, we're going to do better next year.
Absolutely. And as I said, it's a challenge. We had a little bit of a window to address hopefully as many of these as possible and set ourselves up, you know, for the 24-25 audit, two audits away, where we've hopefully got all of these resolved and all of these things in place that we've been talking about. So that's absolutely the goal. I think had this got done a little sooner, we'd be in certainly better shape with the 23-24 audit, but we're going to do the best we can.
Brian, is there a corrective action plan in place for the findings on both the city and Board of Ed side? You know, in general, how long, whether it be 6 months, a year out, to correct the 10 audit findings?
So there are plans being put in place, which are, you know, based on the management responses in the single audit findings. You know, however, right, to be honest, right, we're doing it in June. So it's hard for me to convince the auditor that we've been doing it for all year. I wasn't even here half of it. And, you know, but he, look, that said, he's going to work with me, right? So even if the library funds, for instance, I didn't have access to them all year, but we get it done this year and before we close the books, you know, we've got the visibility. Look at, you know, he may let something like that go, but it's really going to be at his discretion and how confident he is that, you know, we did our best to fix it in this short time period. And then how much are we, how good are we going forward? I think we'll also roll into it. But, like I said, very much a challenge, 23, 24. I think 24, 25, there's really no more excuses on why it wouldn't be done at that point.
Brian, I just want to say thank you because I think we have a very strong person in there now, and I just see all the differences. And just to kind of say, I don't think we're going to have to worry about it in the future. I think he's going to take a handle of everything. And so, but thank you very much for everything.
Yeah, I want to echo. That's exactly what I was going to say. I can't imagine what it would be like. And I know we give you kudos a lot, but I certainly think you've earned them all. I can't imagine coming into work every day feeling like I'm hitting another tidal wave, and you get through that one and you've got another one coming. So thanks for sticking around. We appreciate your work and hope you'll stay for years to come.
Thank you all. It's been a lot of fun and challenging, but still some fun.
Brian, you
want to
say something?
No, I was just going to say, you know, my goal when I ran for mayor was, if I won, to put a good team around me. And I certainly think we have a great team in place. And Brian's a big part of that. He was a huge find for us, and he's done a great job. And I thank you, Brian, for all the hard work you've put in. And we have a lot of good people working now, trying to make the city a better place. So thank you.
I'll continue on the flowers. No, I have to say this was a super helpful meeting. I'm very excited that we got both boards together. I would love to see more of this, whether it be quarterly or every 6 months, have kind of a let's get together, have an update. Where are we? Where do we need to go? Maybe get representation from Board of Ed Finance as well, in case there's specific questions that you may not be able to answer. But this process tonight was super helpful. I enjoyed it, even though we're like, oh, I don't like the numbers, but the process, you know, it's a breath of fresh air. And, you know, kudos to you, to the administration for putting this together. Because, you know, the more we work together, the more we know, the better the city is going to be going forward. So thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Great. Okay. Mark.
Brian's my pal. We've been spend a lot of quality time together. My name is Mark Garfalo, town clerk and observer and victim of the past 2 years of this these financial atrocities that have been put on the city of Derby. And while I agree with all of the bouquets to be thrown, I certainly don't want to sow any poison ivy, because we're hopefully weeding the poison ivy out. However, the reality is, I would offer to you, strongly urge to you, to, when we talk about policies for financial management and oversight, that both boards jointly adopt them formally on the record as part of their minutes. and not just administratively, because the abuse that took place. I mean, I hate to be this, but we forgot all about this stuff because you're talking about notes that were obligated on behalf of the city that we might get money back from, or we might not get money back from. And I certainly don't want to be negative, but in the time that I've been town clerk, we've been through this crisis situation twice because of whatever. But in this latest go around, I would urge the administration and both boards to seek out who is responsible for, and you know, what were the responsibilities as it related to the problems that were initiated? Because don't forget, this budget, this audit that you're talking about, the 22-23, just to refresh everybody's memory, that was the time when the finance director that we hailed and welcomed in was unceremoniously taken from her position as she started the process and started to uncover some of the problems. So she was kicked out. The budget process, for those that were on those of you that were on the board, then was hijacked. And you have all of these things that now we get, you know, basically 6 months late when we were told by the interim people that it was going to be done last December. So I think that while we have begun to cure the problem, it's not cured. And we definitely need to root out the problems and fix them, because we owe that to the people who elected us. We owe that in a bipartisan way to the people that elected us. And I get frustrated, and sometimes I express myself in a way that sounds frustrated, because I am frustrated, and it's hurtful to the taxpayers who are going to get a bill in a few days from now to pay for this incompetence, malfeasance, and ignoring of all of the rules of good government and of prudent financial planning. And kudos to the whole administration and to the mayor in particular to get competent people. Because every time we don't have competent people in positions, it makes it harder for the rest of us to do our jobs. It adds to the work, and we tolerate it, and we try to deal with it as best we can, but it hurts everybody in the city. So I just encourage you to be diligent and forceful about making sure that we institutionalize these changes, because, you know, there's all this, he said, she said, and if we need to get on the same financial software or whatever we need to do, the simple things and then the more complicated things, then we need to do it, because we were sold the bill of goods in a sham process for putting the financial and all of the stuff that you know, put us in a legal situation. We're in this spot, and we were made promises, and we still have a financial system that this gentleman, as a financial professional, can't work with. And it's totally outrageous to think that you have to deal. We can't get the information that we need. So I would encourage this, the administration, and however you need to go about that, to root out the problems. And if they still exist, then they need to be corrected, because it is difficult to do this job in public life. And we try to do it the best that we can. But we need to really take the tough stand and to make those necessary institutional changes that will protect us as residents and taxpayers on behalf of everybody else. So thank you for being here tonight and for your attention to this and for taking it seriously, because it is a most serious issue. And again, I've been town clerk, this is my 11th year, and we've already been through this crisis situation twice, publicly twice, besides the times that they were trying to hide it. But it comes out. So having capable leadership and transparency is the better way to go. Because it's or pay me now or pay me later. And it really is incumbent upon all of us to do our due diligence. So thank you for your...
Mark, I have a question for you. How long was the last administration in power?
6 years.
6 years. Oh, so the mayor can run three times?
As long as he can take it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would just like to follow up on what Mark said, and thank you. I do appreciate it. I know for the tax board, you know, we did just approve a significant tax increase, and we're all aware that it's going to have devastating effect on taxpayers in Derby. I know for me, I would definitely feel more comfortable, and I did like your suggestion, one about the, I think, quarterly meetings to see where we're at, you know, collective, you know, meeting with the board, finance department, with you, with all of us, because while it did not feel good, I do believe the tax increase did have to occur. I would feel much better and more responsible for the tax increase if we're able to also provide information and policy procedure to ensure to the taxpayer we had to do this, we fixed it, but we're setting up planned policy to make sure it's not going to happen again. And I think we owe that.
Also, just to piggyback what you said, also a lot of people, I don't know if they go, like a lot of our neighbors and stuff, I don't know if they go on to Facebook or these type of things. That's why I was trying to get more time last time. But maybe some type of, and I think were we talking about it? I'm not sure. Some type of memo can go out to say, I mean, if this doesn't go against the charter, like something like mail or something. Or I can print something to go out to the people to let them know, because sometimes the people are too old or they're working, they have children, or they're just not on Facebook because it's toxic or, you know, of what's going on. So I think that if we provide, I mean, I would personally want to provide more information. So if they can't come, at least we're showing them that we're working together collectively and we're handing them stuff out. So they're all in the know. They can't say, well, I didn't know. Well, you got this. I mean, maybe we can think about it. I don't know if it's the best idea, but just we can come to the table together. And
I know other cities and communities do something very similar, where they'll send out it's a couple pages, small, here's where we're at, all the updates, you know, what's going on. So I think it's a great idea.
Like a mayor's report, maybe a newsletter or something.
That's exactly what I'm familiar with, the mayor's report.
And I think that you can donate, I think, up to $1,000 to get it going. And I can do that if we want to. Like if we needed funds or whatever and we didn't want to ask, I could definitely, if it's under the amount that I can do, I will do it just to make your administration, because you've been great. And everyone here has been great. So we can show that we're bipartisan, we're working together. And really it's about the children and what we're leaving this, you know, place to. And so everyone can love it as much as I do. And not because my last name is Derby either. I'm just saying.
Sorry. I think, you know, there's been discussion of it, you know, maybe an update going out with the tax bill or something that's already going out so we don't have to incur more costs. Yeah. Just a thought.
I mean, certainly to the point, if both boards agreed and you had a certain amount of money to be able to do that, you could do a newsletter. Hopefully this time, we've had those in the past, even though they were not approved by anybody. Hopefully this time you could impart accurate information and do it with a little bit of tact and class, and not be political and not be partisan, but just give the facts. And certainly there's a whole bunch of facts to give and to the point. I mean, we suffer from the lack of a printed free press. I mean, the Valley Independent does a great job. If you're online or on Facebook or other ways, but not everybody is. And even if they are, maybe they're new to town and they're not tuned into that stuff. So it is certainly a problem. on a whole bunch of things. But I think that you, to your point, there could be sponsors and there could be ways to defray the cost. But if the board, the Board of Aldermen felt it was okay and, the, and there was consensus among the tax board, perhaps you could find a little bit of money to do that to help communicate and better, you know, bring our community together. We're having our 350th next year. So, you know, it's probably an opportunity to bring the community together in a way that it used to happen automatically, but now it, we're in a different, you know, it, we're in a new world, you know, it's a new world, Golda. Yeah.
Okay, if there's no other questions, we'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Sarah.
Made by Sarah, is there a second?
Second.
Amy, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Oh, hold on.
Just note the time, but also Ashley Simon did enter the meeting at 7:15.
All right, the time is now 7:42.
Thank you.
Thank you and have a good night.